We started this week with the season of Lent, and before we go too far into the season, I wanted to make sure our young people knew what we were talking about as we looked to the cross. Lent is a time of particular focus on repentance, which does not mean that we atone for our sins or even that we feel deep shame about them. Repentance is our response to the fact that Jesus atoned for our sins and bore our shame on the cross. The word repentance has a negative connotation in our culture. To say that someone needs to repent implies they have done something really bad, and they should feel really bad about it. Well, that may be true in some respects. The call to repentance is fundamentally good news. One Bible commentator says, "Repentance from the beginning of time to this present hour has been and remains the most positive word from the heart of God." Because God made us for himself, our highest good is to repent and to turn to God. In the Old Testament, the sins of God's people and their lack of repentance led to their exile. God ordained their ruin and captivity at the hands of pagan nations, and it was horrific at every level. Physical, national, cultural, and spiritual devastation. As awful as it sounds, it was actually a demonstration of God's love. As a father disciplines his children, the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he restores. The point of discipline is correction and restoration. It's an invitation to be in fellowship with God. Paul says it is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. God calls us to himself, convicts us of our sins, and comforts us with his love, and changes us by his grace. Our repentance begins and ends with God. So as we go into the season of Lent, the season of focusing on the cross, this week our focus is repentance. That God has done all that we need and continues to do it, and our part is to accept it and depend upon him. All right, people, now you can run out. So this week on Wednesday, the youth group and several others of us joined the congregation at the Methodist Church for their Ash Wednesday service. Ash Wednesday is the start. It's the day after all the people do their revelry and pagan rituals trying to get rid of sin in their lives. And it's actually the day that we start this season of focusing on the cross. The Christ has come. And Lent is actually this time where we realize that our sins have separated us from the living God. So Ash Wednesday actually uses ashes and oil, and the person leading the service puts that cross on people's foreheads, reminding us that we are but ash, and to ashes we will return. But it's also a symbol of cleansing. That through the fire and through what God has done, the tribulations that Jesus Christ went through, we are returned to one with Christ. So there's lots of symbolism in this season, lots of ways for us to picture and imagine and see that God is at work, he has been at work, and he continues to work in our lives. And today we continue that actual same thing with this several stories about repentance from Luke chapter 13. This question, am I better than others? You ever ask that? Yes, we ask, I'm better than him, or I'm better than that person, not as bad as that person. We're actually going to look at that question and how Jesus responds to it this morning in Luke chapter 13. But let's pray. Father God, we enter into the season of Lent, the season of remembering that you came and died on a cross in our place. We enter the season humbly, recognizing that we have done nothing to deserve this amazing gift. We can do nothing to keep it, but you've still called us to do something. You called us to repent and accept. To turn away from what we've been doing and receive humbly this amazing gift that you've given to us. So Lord God, as we look at your scriptures this morning, as we wrestle with the meetings, I pray that you would open our eyes to understand. open our ears to hear what you are saying, that you would speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Luke chapter 13, we actually have several different stories happening here. We're only going to get through the first half of the chapter, verse 17. But in this, we have several different things happening and testing and challenging Jesus with some really hard questions. In Luke chapter 13, it starts like this. Now, there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? Do you think these people were worse?" Now, this is actually a trick question for Jesus. There's two things that he could get wrong here. One, he could accuse Herod that he shouldn't have done this. This would incite some civil unrest that Herod had done the wrong thing. Here's these religious people in the temple worshiping their God, and some crazy pagan comes in who has the authority of the state and kills them, butchers them, leaves them dead. Should be a reason to get upset, right? So Jesus, what do you think about this? And the other side of the religious thing is, when bad things happen, especially in this culture, God had to be behind it in some way, right? They're sinners. They must have been really bad sinners for God to have wiped them out so completely, so utterly, so quickly, in such a dramatic way. That's the question they're asking. These people died. Jesus, what do you think? Difficult spot to be in. But with wisdom, Jesus answers, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way?" And not to leave it there, he also takes the next example here, and he says, and do you remember in Jerusalem, there was this tower that fell down, and he says, those 18 people who died in this Tower of Siloam, and do you think they were guilty, more guilty, than all the others living in Jerusalem? So Jesus takes it from political opposition and religious opposition to a natural disaster, building fell over. We could just as easily say an earthquake happened or a volcano blew up. What about these people? Another dramatic story. Something fell down, crushed innocent people, but were they guilty? Maybe God knew something that everybody else didn't know. These 18 people maybe deserved a guy to die, they're thinking. Jesus throws this at them and says, are they more guilty? Are they worse off than you? We ask the question this morning, am I better than others? Have I done less wrong than the next person? Have I done more good than everybody else? And Jesus, as a master storyteller, twists this story and shocks the people that are there. Because he takes the focus off of those people and those circumstances. He takes the focus off of those people. And he brings it in like an arrow right to those that are in front of him. In both of these stories, these incidences that has happened, Jesus looks at them and says, I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will perish. How often have you been in conversations, if you've been following with the Lord, people say, well, what about all those people in Africa? We have an African here, but who've never heard about Jesus. That's like the farthest place away we can think of in America. Sorry, Williams. Hey, you're here with us today. What about those people up in Tibet? Had people that have been in Tibet as well. These faraway places that we can hardly imagine here in the West, and we think, what about those people? How's God going to save them? Do they deserve to die? Stop. Same as in these things. It's the theoretical that stops a lot of people and they get caught up. It's what about this and what about that? Jesus, in these verses, is driving home a point to you and I that unless we will die. Because today the question is not this untimely death, people dying before they live to a ripe old age. The point is not when we die. The point is we're going to die. We will die. Death is a part of this world, but the point is we can be ready for that day. Jesus is talking about repentance. Repentance, turning away from my self-efforts, turning away from my, oh, I shouldn't have done that, or oh, I can do it better if I try harder. Turning away from my efforts, saying, Jesus, only in you do I have a hope. It's trusting in someone beyond ourselves, trusting in a Savior who is not under our control, who can't be controlled by us, and saying, you've done what I can't do. Unless you repent, you too will perish. So with this change of focus, what do we do then with fear? I was talking with someone this week who was saying, wow, I hope Jesus returns soon because I've heard that ISIS is actually trying to get into Bulgaria, might be coming to Macedonia soon. And just as these people here died at the hand of Herod, it was a corrupt state, he had the power, took his army into this holy place, killed a few people and walked out, and nobody could do anything about it. ISIS is doing that freely in Syria, in Iraq. Were they ready? This is the question Jesus is asking. Not that you, me, us today. If we were to face the sword of the beheader this morning to die, would you be ready to walk into Jesus' presence? Whether it's timely, the end of our life after a good, long, wonderful life, or whether it's today unexpectedly, if we've repented, if we are trusting in Jesus today, it doesn't matter. We're ready. So we have this theme this morning that's been building over these last few chapters in the Gospel of Luke very, very powerfully. Am I ready today? Jesus says, you want to follow me? Great. Take up your cross, which means be willing to die. Come after me daily. Not today and then in a few more days. Daily, every single day. All he's giving us is today. To be ready, to be expecting, to be trusting. For him to be providing for our needs. For him to be giving us the food, the bread, the housing that we need. Today he's given us everything. And he's not promised us tomorrow. He's promised to be with us today. Am I ready? Today's message is not about what about them theoretically. What about those people over there? The question this morning is, am I repentant? Am I trusting in this Savior? Story goes on here in the chapter 13 of Luke, and Jesus tells a parable, a figurative story about a fig tree. Jesus tells the story of a tree that this gardener planted in his weekend house. Macedonians all have these little houses they have out in the villages. They go there, they plant a little garden in the summers there, spend the time there, enjoying clean, fresh air, planting, and they planted a fig tree. Fig trees here in Macedonia, so we know what they are. Eat them in, when do they get ripe? Springtime? August, fall, okay. I had one, I just never paid attention to it. But anyways, it's there. Story says, Jesus planted a fig tree, not Jesus, the man in the vineyard planted the fig tree and left it, and came back after 3 years, expecting to find fruit. Figs grown, you can take back to the city and have for the week. Nothing. Fine. He says, chop it down, let's plant something else. Why? Because a fig tree takes lots of nutrients out of the soil, and if it's not bearing fruit, he doesn't need it. The tree had a purpose. The tree was supposed to be doing something, right? Nobody plants a fig tree and expects shade from it. Even though they get that, they expect the figs. There's no figs, not a very good fig tree. Although in the States, they now have cherry trees without cherries. People got tired of cleaning up the mess. A fruit tree without fruit is not fulfilling its purpose. And this ties in with this story of repentance because it shows us there's something that results from our choices. When we repent, we bear fruit. Now, the story gives us 3 years. The tree gets to grow and develop and mature, right? And as believers, we start following Christ, we learn from him, we mature. But there comes a point where we as individual believers have something to show for. Right. The point of our Christian life, the point of following after Jesus, is not just to learn a lot, have a lot appear in our heads and say, yeah, I've learned all this. The point of our Christian life is to bear fruit. Fruit that lasts. And what is this fruit that we're talking about? You better pay attention to the story, because he's going to give us a concrete example of what this fruit looks like. So, repentance. It's not about the other people, it's about me. And if I have repented, I should be like a fruit tree that's bearing fruit, that's ready. Thankfully, in the story, there was this grace given where the gardener says, I'm going to care for this tree, I'm going to give it some more fertilizer, I'm going to care for it, and next year, when you come back, if there's not fruit then, the axe comes out, fire gets started, and you get to roast the nice, good little food over that and use it for something else. Repentance is about me. There's supposed to be fruit in my life. And then Jesus, in this place where he is on a Saturday, the holy day for the Israelites, comes across this woman who's been oppressed by a demonic presence for 18 years. Crippled, hunched over. What does Jesus do? He heals the woman. He looks at her and says, woman, you are healed from this affliction. He touches her. She straightens up. And she praises God. And the lack of fruit looks like the religious leader who points his finger, proud and angry, and says, what are you doing on this holy day? You're working. And Jesus, almost imagine the sorrow that the man is missing. It says, if you have an animal and it falls into a ditch, would you pull it out? Would you free it? And here this woman, who has been bound by Satan for 18 years, has been freed. And you're not happy? You're not seeing God at work here? A lack of fruit in this religious person's life did not allow him to see that God was at work. Setting captives free. Freeing those who were oppressed. Jesus came to heal. He came to set free the oppressed. He came to give life, and he's doing it. And those people who should have understood the hand of God were angry, indignant, proud. And at the end of the chapter, or the end of these verses here, actually shamed when they realized he was right. Fruit in our lives is that compassion towards those who are in need. Fruit in our lives, according to these verses, is setting captives free. It's doing the work of Jesus as he did it. It's taking this gospel, this good news of Jesus to people, sharing it with them so they can hear and make a decision to follow him, but it's also being his hands and his feet. That means serving people with our hands and going with our feet to those that are in need and helping. As yesterday and last weekend, we were at the Lydia Center cleaning it, painting it, being a part of a ministry that's going on over there. And in so many other ways it's happening in your lives. The story this morning is for me. Am I repentant? If I look into my life and I say one of two things, or three things. First of all, I could do better. Is that what God is expecting? Ugh, try harder tomorrow, I can really do this. I missed the point. On the other side of tomorrow, I wake up and say, man, I was a mess yesterday. I'm so sorry about that, man. And I just give myself this real big pity party and think, okay, I'm repentant now. Missed it again. Beating myself up, thinking I can do better. Those both focus on me. Jesus is saying here, he is the focus. Amen. Looking to Jesus, looking to what he has done, looking to how he gives us strength, is the only solution here that works. If we repent, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today is the Macedonian Day of Forgiveness, Prochka. Day where you have to forgive anybody for everything for this whole year. So think about it, look around, take some time over coffee, make sure you've dealt with this year's worth of messing up people's lives. But it's a daily occurrence with us and God. Because today is the day he's called me to repent. Today is the day he's called you to repent.
Amen.
Today is the day of repentance. So today on this first Sunday of the season of Lent, we have choice. Will I find myself in this story? Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's talking to the crowds, and he's saying, you have a choice today. Find yourself needing a Savior, needing to repent, being ready for his return. Or to find yourself thinking, I can do it on my own. I've got this figured out. Only one of those will work. So I ask you to stand with me as we pray this prayer of confession, asking God to work in our heart and prepare us. Together we pray, our Father in heaven, we need to be forgiven. We have tried to heal ourselves instead of trusting in the death of Jesus Christ. We have tried to work off our guilt. We have tried so hard to pile up good deeds that outweigh our sins. Instead of trusting in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have tried to change through our own efforts. We have tried to change our hearts through sheer willpower. Forgive us for trying to heal ourselves. Forgive us for neglecting your grace. Forgive us and heal us for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
Stay standing as we continue to sing.
Amen.